Galatians chapter 6, beginning at the 7th verse. Let's see what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church at Galatia. He says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." I want us to hang our Holy Ghost hat on the 9th verse. "And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I like to put a tag on this text, simply Q, and call this, "I can't quit." Let me take your seats in the presence of the Lord. I can't quit. I can't quit. I can't quit. I think I can stand today and say without fear of debate, division, or even contradiction, that being a child of God, a disciple of Jesus Christ, one who loves God, attends church, reads your Bible, that following Jesus has its good days and its bad days. I don't want to discourage anyone who might have been thinking about joining the church today, but I do want to be honest with you that following the Lord has some ups and some downs. Some highs and a whole lot of lows. For certainly there are moments when the joy of Jesus and the grace of God overwhelm us and we feel like shouting hallelujah. But then there are some moments when we realize that the call, the commitment, the command of God on our life requires us to do some things, Reverend Lyle, that are not easy.
That's true, true, true.
Being a Christian is not easy. Because when you read scripture, and if you don't edit out the verses you don't like, you will find that God commands us in Christ to do some things that are not easy.
All right. Yes.
Pray for them, Brother Lambert, that despitefully use you.
Yes.
That is not easy. Forgiving somebody 70 times 7. Come on, Jesus. That's a lot. Biting your tongue and only saying what glorifies God, when you would much rather open your lips and give somebody detailed instructions on how to,
all right,
where they need to go,
amen,
is not easy.
Not easy.
And that whole turning to think cheek when you get slapped on one cheek, man, is,
yes.
I've been walking with God for 40 years, and I've not figured that one out yet. God calls us to do some things with others. Love them that hate you. Pray for them that use you. Be kind to them that manipulates you. God, I could do it if only I had to do it every now and again.
Right.
I can do some of that if only I had to do it once or twice a year.
Okay.
For a moment here and there. But the challenge is that God calls us to walk right with others continuously, every day, all the time. And if we can be honest, it is not easy to be righteous in this world every day. Can I argue my case? Because we see righteousness as an investment in other people. So when I am right by you, I just expect you to do right by me. If I speak to you and I don't like you, You should be Christian enough to speak to me when you don't like me. There's some reciprocity here. If I stay out of your stuff, my expectation is that you're going to stay out of mine.
All right.
If I forgive you and let your stuff go, then you should forgive me and let mine go.
Amen.
The trouble with that is all of us know what it is like.
Yes.
To be righteous, to do the right thing, to take the high road, only for it not to be reciprocated. Your dog must be more holier than me, so I'm going to testify on behalf of those who have some BC in them.
All right.
Before Christ.
Yeah.
Before a church.
Yes.
I got some remnant of sin still in me, Brother Lambert. Mm. I'm saved, but I'm not delivered from everything.
Yes. Yes.
You feel me?
Yes.
So on behalf of us that know we are a work in progress,
yes,
it is hard being the peacemaker with someone who likes to fight.
Yes.
It is hard taking the high road with someone that likes the gun.
Amen.
It's hard being Christ-like with someone who is demonic.
Yes.
It is hard biting your tongue with someone who can't shut their mouth.
Yes.
It is hard being mature with someone who always wants to act childish.
Yes.
And if the truth be told, you can do right for so long, Latanya, that you reach a place where you decide to quit being right.
All right.
Y'all feeling me?
Yeah. Yeah.
This not working, you say. They're not changing. I'm not being rewarded. Have you reached a place where you wanted to tell God, to heck with this? God, you just don't have to forgive me today. You're just going to have to forgive me today. You're going to have to give me a path because I'm going to let her have, him have, exactly what she deserves.
Yeah.
I'm preaching to somebody today, you're right on the brink.
Right there.
You have made up your mind tomorrow, you're going to snap, crackle, and pop on somebody because they just deserve to get told.
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted to give up on being righteous? Have you ever just wanted to do things your own way? Have you ever gotten tired of trying to take the high road?
Yes.
It never leaves where you think it should go.
Yes.
I know somebody has been there because one of them is here in the pulpit right now.
Yes.
This week I was ready to quit everything, Sister Frello.
Yes.
Some individuals I was dealing with was going to get told some stuff.
Thank you, Lord.
I would not have been representing God well.
Yes.
I'm walking worthy of my calling.
Yes.
But in the midst of wanting to quit on doing the right thing, here come God again.
Yes.
Whispered in my ear,
yes,
the one verse of scripture that always turns me around.
Yes.
Let us not grow weary in well doing.
Yes.
For in due season,
yes,
we will reap if we faint not.
Yes.
Here, this verse is more important than God works all things together for good.
Yes.
It's more important that the Lord is my light and my salvation.
Yes.
It's more grounding that they that wait upon the Lord.
Yes.
I want you in moments of frustrating, God told Paul, frustration, when you're ready to give up on doing the right thing, I want you to hear the Apostle Paul and God's voice whispering in your ear. Let us not grow weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Because what Paul is saying to each and every one of us, you have to get that quit out of your spirit. I said it again. Paul said, you got to get the quick out of your spirit.
Yes.
You cannot give up on righteousness so easy. You can't walk away from doing the right thing. You can't be so frustrated that you stop doing what God has called and commanded you to do. Living how God expects you to live. Loving how God expects you to love. Being kind, being patient,
praying, being nice, helping out. The Lord said, listen, don't you ever give up on doing the right thing. Yes. Hear how Paul presses it. Paul says the reason you can't give up on doing the right thing. Watch this. Because the Holy Spirit will help you hold on. Uh-oh. Paul said the reason you can't give up on doing the right thing, because the Holy Spirit will help you hold on. Can I teach some Pentecost here? The power of the Holy Spirit is literally to help you be committed to doing righteousness when righteousness is not easy. Watch what Paul says. Look at the language. Paul says, let us not grow weary. He speaks in the first person, Mary, it's plural, in the collective identity. He doesn't say, I won't grow weary. He doesn't say, you shouldn't grow weary. He says, let us not grow weary. Now, if I have not lost you, the question you should be asking, who is us? Who is the us Paul is speaking about? The us are the Christians in Galatia to whom he is writing. And what Paul says to the Christians in Galatia, the First Baptist Church in Galatia, he says, listen, let us not give up on doing the right thing.
That's right.
Now, why does Paul tell the church in Galatia, don't give up on doing the right thing? Can Pastor teach somebody? As a matter of fact, he pushes it in verse 10. And he says, make sure you do right by everybody in the church.
Amen.
Uh-oh. The very first place you should not grow weary in doing right is with the body of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Why does Paul press being righteous in the midst of some Christians? Well, you need to know what was going on in Galatia. When you read Galatians, you'll find out when Paul left that city, another group of Christians came in contradicting Paul's teachings. It was a group of Christians called Judaizers. Let the church say Judaizers.
Judaizers.
What are Judaizers? Judaizers were Christians who were first Jews. Check me out, Mother Thomas. And they believed that Christianity was a sect, S-E-C-T. Of Judaism. Therefore, they argued if a Gentile wanted to become a Christian, they first had to become a Jew. The devil is a lie. Which meant you had to abide by the Mosaic dietary laws. And the Mosaic laws about circumcision. So when Paul left the Gentiles in Galatia who had confessed Christ, the Judaizers came behind and said, listen, y'all are not Christians because y'all eating ribs.
That's all right.
And you're not circumcised. So in order to be a Christian, you have to do what we tell you to do. And Paul realizes that the church in Galatia, Sister Fertile, is beginning to splinter. Come apart. They are fighting. They're fussing. Every time the saints get together, something ugly jumps off.
Yes.
When the saints gather in church, some mean things are said. Division creeps in up, and facts and cliques begin to break out in the body of Christ.
Yes. Yes.
And people are now not loving each other. Paul said, listen, don't you ever give up on doing right by other people in church. Paul says, I'm pressing you to do the right thing with other saints. Why does Paul push doing right with other church folk? Because Paul knew what you and I know. Don't get deep now. Church can get ugly. Church can be mean. Don't look at nobody. Look at me. I'm talking to you. The longer you come to church, sooner or later, you're going to find out that church folk are not always Christ-like.
That's right.
Can I help you?
Yes.
I know some of you were planning to join today. Maybe not. Pastor's going to get you in a minute. But I want to give everybody full disclosure here. If you come to church long enough, you're going to find out that church people are people. Bible in hand, Baptist wearing, shouting Amazing Grace singing, but they are still people. And if I know people like I know people, people can act a people on you. And at some moment, an usher is not going to smile. At some morning, you are going to say good morning and get nothing in return.
Yeah.
Some morning, the preacher's going to tell you, touch your neighbor, and you're going to reach out, and your neighbor say, as he's going to say, you better not.
Amen.
Jesus. Paul says, I need you all in Galatia to learn never give up doing right, even when church folk get ugly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not done yet.
Okay.
And how do you do that? He's arguing from chapter 5 into chapter 6 that this is the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That the power of the Holy Spirit is to give you the strength to be committed to righteousness when righteousness is not easy.
That's true.
That the presence of the Holy Spirit is not found in how many people shout. Uh-oh. How many people jump up and down?
Come on now.
How many people fall out at the altar? Yeah. How many people talk in tongues? That is not the sign of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The sign of the Holy Spirit is when someone has left, watch this church, when someone, this word is so relevant. The sign of the Holy Spirit is when someone has left a bad taste in your mouth in church, but you come back to church anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you for a right now word, God.
Thank you.
Can I prove you the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the strength that keeps you in the choir when they don't sing your song and give you the solo.
Okay.
All
right.
The Holy Spirit is that what gives you the strength to serve, even though they don't let you be ahead of the committee this time. I'm sure it didn't work. The Holy Spirit says, stay with it even when giving up being righteous is easier. Because God has called you here. He has called you to do something, and people say it all the time, I hear them, and in the next few weeks, they change. You got to learn to stay connected and committed to the church.
Yes.
Even when church gets ugly to you.
Yes.
Because you, that's not a thing now. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
Because necessarily what you see ain't the way it really is.
That's right. Amen.
That's why God said, stay connected so I can work on your mind. Why does Paul encourage us to begin the journey of righteousness by being committed to the church? Why does Paul say, listen, this is real simple, y'all. This is how you are going to grow in your walk. When you learn not to give up on church, why is it important that we learn to stay committed to church even when church gets ugly? You have to remember why you come to church. Hello. This is so deep. It's so deep, you can say, really? Church on Sunday, Reverend Lyle, is meant to get you ready for Monday.
Yes.
When you come to church, the Lord wants to fill you with what you need to make it through the Wednesday. When you come to church, the Lord already knows what Thursday in your life is going to be like. He knows what Thursday is going to bring you.
Yes.
So the Lord begins, brings you into the church to try to get your soul ready.
Yes.
Your mind ready. Your heart ready.
Yes.
For what you're going to experience during the week.
Yes.
I know this sounds crazy, but this is the way he gave it to me, y'all. So here's why do you have to deal with church ugly? Because if you can deal with a Christian not speaking to you on Sunday, you can handle a crazy co-worker on Monday. If you can stay and worship, Sister Angela, where you just don't feel welcome, then no demonic supervisor can push you outside the peace of God during the week. If you can deal with a nasty alto in a choir, then sure you can handle all the demons on your job. All the crazy folk in your house. All the neighbors that get on your nerves. You got to learn to push through. Say to yourself, Sunday is just getting me ready. Paul says, let us not grow weary of well doing. But do well to the people of faith, because the Holy Spirit will help you to hold on.
Yes.
And if you can get through Sunday, you can get through Friday.
Yes.
Can I get a witness in here?
Yes.
I told y'all last Sunday I was getting old. And that's why I'm cutting these messages short, Reverend Lies. I ain't been preaching long and wearing myself all day and listening to me. Oh, no.
Okay.
I'm going to say what needs to be said. Y'all have to come back and get the rest of this, and I'm breaking this thing down and up. Can I get a witness up in here?
Amen.
Come on, God. The Bible says that you ought to not give up so easy.
Uh-huh.
Don't get weary of well-doing.
Yes.
Because in due season,
yes.
I'm going to hump this thing off and I'm going to my seat.
Uh-huh.
In due season,
yeah.
You will reap what you sow. Man, I had to exegete that word and break that word and get it to the original Greek to find out what it means in do. Do does not mean, Q, what's coming to you.
Uh-huh.
Do means that what is yours.
Uh-huh.
Y'all hear that?
Yes. Yes.
Do means what is ordained for you. Yes. Not for mama, uh-huh. Not for your grandma.
Yes.
What is being ordained for you.
Yes. That's it.
So when Paul says in due season, he don't mean it's going to come by calendar day. The original Greek means that there's a blessing with your name on it. And if you just hold on just a little while longer, you'll come in to get what God got in storage for you. The devil wants to take the storage key away from you because you're getting all upset with every little thing. You need to hold on for due season. Okay, God, I'm feeling that. I'm hearing you. That's a good word. But God, can I make this applicable to me? Can I put a personal on this thing? Sometimes I say, God, don't make it so corporate for me. Make it personal, because I want to be able to testify to myself. I need to be like David, encourage myself in the Lord. When times get hard, I need to encourage myself in the Lord. So you got to make this word applicable to me. He says, son, okay, since I found favor with you, I'm going to make this applicable to you. When you don't understand what the hell's going on, when people don't act right in the body of Christ, those are my people. You let me handle my people. You just be the shepherd, get my instructions. And if they dare disobey my instructions, I'll take my rod and break their leg if I have to. But you just keep preaching the word in season and out of season. He said, when I'm ready to make a real big move, I want you to know, the opposing team, watch me, Q, can I put this in a football scene? Can I make like a football term for you? When you call that trick play, when I get ready to call that trick play,
uh-huh.
The devil thinks he's smart. Because he sees what I got in stores for you. What you got to do is don't think you can run a play better than I call the play. When I call the play, all you do is got to, if I say down and out, don't you do a switch back and come back. No, you do a down and an out. Don't worry about who coming after you, who trying to block you. You just do a down and out. He said that, and guess what? I'll send ambushments to take out your enemy before you get to the doorpost. Don't worry who come to church, who won't come. Forget that. He said that, and one or two are gathered in my name. Get the quit out of your spirit, son. My son did not quit. He came down through 42 generations. Was born of a virgin. Can I preach the thing, Deacon Fellow? He was brought in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. And if he would have quit, he never would have walked on water. He never would have calmed the raging sea. And they whipped him all night long. He didn't quit, Sister Furlough. Sister Thomas, he said not a mumbling word. Get the quit out of your spirit. And he nailed him to a cross. And he hung there. Not because he wanted to come down. But he did not quit. He hung there for you. And he hung there for me. I said, but Lord, I don't understand what kept him on the cross. Wasn't the nail that was in his feet? Wasn't the nails that was in his hand? Wasn't the hole in his side? God said, no, the same thing I got for you was what he got for you. It was love. That kept Jesus on the cross. It was love that kept Jesus from quitting. Get the quit out your spirit. Tell us a lie. Get the quit out of your spirit. Hang on just a little while longer. You got some Holy Ghost? But stop wanting to quit. Stand to your feet. Put your hands together, God.